Hello, friends. That's a little better there. I would like to see if I can begin with telepathy and the etheric vehicle. As you know, DK wrote certain lesson sets which were collected and then made into books. He did this for the telepathic group that he was organizing. He did this for the glamour group, or the trained observers, and we have as a result the book Glamour, A World Problem, which we are making our way through with our programs. He did this for esoteric healing, and it's a huge book. And this has to do with the magnetic healers. And also, he did organize the group that was to undertake the project of education in the New Age. And a little book dealing with that subject also exists. Then there was no book for, let's say maybe for politics. He began The Destiny of the Nations, but he never completed organizing that group of nine people who would be part of that seed group. When it comes to the New World Religion, that's group number six. Well, that is scattered throughout his work, and maybe the book, The Reappearance of the Christ, will have to be considered as dealing with that particular seed group. As far as the scientific servers go, which is group number seven, there's just so much information throughout A Treatise on Cosmic Fire that can be used in that direction. But as DK told us, he was not a fifth-ray master, and if he really needed advice on the fifth ray, he would consult a colleague for that advice. Fifth ray methods of serving, however, are very much included. And again, the old commentary has much on this particular subject. When it comes to the psychology group, which is the eighth group, he did write two wonderful books, Esoteric Psychology 1 and 2. And both of them can be thought of as the books to be used by those in the psychological C group, which he said was rather more academic and theosophical than many of the groups. So the Treatise on Cosmic Fire is considered to be the psychological extension or version of the secret doctrine. So we have to consult that book as well. No particular book on economics exists, which is the fifth C group. But again, the whole question of resources and of money is scattered throughout the his material. And we find quite a bit of it Well, we just have to look up the whole question of finance and money, and we will find plenty that might have eventually been some kind of book along that line. When it comes to the final seed group, which would be a group of 27 initially, taking three from each of the previous seed groups, we do have a treatise on white magic, which deals very much with the whole factor of manifestation, just as seed group number 10 does. The whole magical process is there dealt with. And let's just say that the seed groups did not develop sufficiently to really have a full complement of workers in each one. The idea of a full complement of nine in the various seed groups stopped after the education seed groups. So telepathy, the trained observers, the magnetic healers, and the educators of the New Age, they were organized in such a way that their numbers were filled out. Now I began to think what might be a good book for us to examine, and there's so much importance in the whole idea of telepathy. It has to do with how Master DK contacts us and contacts us in our soul nature and can read who we are. I think as well, I want to mention that the discipleship books, and especially the instructions to the disciples found in both Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1 and 2, go a long way to explain practical spiritual psychology. But this was the first group. It was a group composed of maybe, let's say, the leaders or the most experienced people in the Lucis Trust at the time. Among the most experienced was Alice Bailey herself. She was in that group. There was Foster Bailey. There was Regina Keller. Keith Bailey has gathered the names of these people together, and some of them maybe were not so familiar with, but generally they had a lot of experience in the spiritual field and could be considered the foundational group from which so much of what followed was impulsed. We know that spiritual telepathy occurs on the first subplane here. Maybe we can see this, the first subplane of the mental plane. And from that time on, we are really beginning to enter the spiritual triad via the Antikarana. Let's just say Master DK's teaching is so rich It's difficult to pin it down. It's so full of variety and useful instruction, as well as a very far reach into the higher planes of consciousness. So we have to consider the practical side as well as the very lofty side of this teaching, written from higher points of tension than we usually sustain. Now, if I was going to look here, the same chart that we've just been looking at, more or less, is here before us, and we see that there is that gap between the fourth subplane of the lower mental plane and the first subplane. This is what will, when the Antikaran is built, combine the aspects of Manas into a seven, because the mental unit here on the fourth subplane is fourfold, but all of the permanent atoms of the spiritual triad are threefold. So you add the four and the three via the Antikarana, and you get the necessary number seven. And then we're reaching into the spiritual triad, though we never, at our stage of evolution, reach the permanent atoms of buddhi or atma. They are even, since they are found in the very occult range of these two planes, they are even beyond the grasp of the normal master, and are what we call Chohanic areas. So we have redone some of these charts with the Master DK. They're simply black and white charts, not too elaborated. And we have, well, not I, but Keith Bailey and Tuya have worked in different ways on these charts and filled them out, shall we say, with color coding and with ray indications and with factors which are implied, such as this very high triangle on the logoic plane, implied but not necessarily spelled out. Now, it's my hope that I will do this correctly so we don't get lost along the way. The very first thing we find in telepathy in the etheric vehicle is this model of the four planes of the seven planes of our solar system. And especially, I would say, as these planes relate to our planet Earth, which is in a very powerful relationship with our solar logos. So we do live on a first ray monadic planet, even though, because we are still a non-sacred planet, that first ray has not entirely emerged. Let's see if I can find something here that gives us here it is, the chart of the seven solar systems. Now, I do want you to be able to see that, of course. So, this would be it. And we've just looked at the first one. And we're on, we're on page X, as it were. Now, if we go to X1, we go to a chart. You know, these are foundational to the teaching on telepathy, because what we receive telepathically comes from these higher planes, from these higher points of tension. And that's how Master DK works, and a number of the other masters, they work similarly. So what would we find here? We find one of the most important of all the charts. And this is the chart on page 344 of a treatise on cosmic fire. And let's see. It is very, very complete as regards the cosmic physical etheric plane, but it is not so complete when we come to the cosmic astral, which has to be just as complex as the cosmic etheric physical, and when we come to the cosmic mental plane, where we find and we have to determine the position from other writings, we find the causal body of our solar logos. And that causal body is on the first subplane of the cosmic mental plane. Beyond that, we come to the seven rishis of the Great Bear, the seven major stars, and they all seem to come out of this little triangle. So you can understand that this little triangle on the cosmic monadic plane is very inclusive and important, and it does, if we kind of look carefully at it, it includes our solar system as well as the different stars of the Great Bear. And does it include the Pleiades? I would say yes, it does. I want to now show the picture of that which we made up, or which together gave color codes. Now, probably by now you've seen this diagram many times. Page 344 of a treatise on cosmic fire. And here, the causal body of the solar locus is elevated to a point where it looks more like it's situated on the first cosmic subplane of the cosmic mental plane. It says here, causal body of a solar locus. And then first subplane, and maybe that gives a hint as to where all the causal bodies of solar logoi are found. But next, out of the triangle come the seven great rishis, this triangle here. And I do believe, really, My impression is that they belong to the cosmic atmic plane, of which nothing is said or demonstrated, and that the Pleiades, I'm thinking of page 1162 or so, in a treatise on cosmic fire, that the Pleiades belong to the cosmic Buddhic plane. I suppose we could go there, maybe, and can we take a look? Let's just see whether that's possible. And okay, well, I thought it best to take a look, because here we are on 1161 and 1162 of Cosmic Fire. DK is telling us that everything that's going on at this very high level is hidden in the mystery of the one about whom naught may be said. And it is not possible for men, as men, to solve it. Maybe the, well, not maybe, but the Chohans, they know more, but here it even says, the truth being obscure to even the highest Dayan Chohan of our system. So we're dealing with a very high reach of points of tension about which we can have hardly the faintest notion. But I do want to point out a way that Master DK blinds his instruction. He says the energy centers of the solar logos are in the form of vast lotuses. And and here from the Secret Doctrine we learn more about the lotuses. I'm not going to go into that right now, because it might lead us off the track. But because it's a study, a great study in itself, and why the lotus is considered the appropriate symbol. Rising from the mud, the objective physical solar system, into the water, the emotional or astral nature of the cosmic astral plane, and flowers on the water, the fruition of the spiritual method. So this is cosmic fire. Anyway, we could study that, and I recommend, well, actually, I have in a treatise on cosmic fire, on my commentaries, and especially on the written, well, maybe it's either the written or the video commentaries, I have already elaborated on this footnote. But here we are saying that the energy centers of a solar logos, which are pretty well the planetary logoi, form vast lotuses or wheels, at the center of which lies hidden the central cosmic life, which we call the planetary logos. I guess it's the monadic nature of the planetary logos, because it's life, you see. Life, quality, appearance. That's the triplicity he gives. Now let's read carefully. He is the meeting place for two types of force, spiritual or logoic, which reaches him via the logoic lotus on the cosmic mental plane. Now that's going to be the lotus of the solar logos. It's going to be his causal body, his Temple of Solomon, his great temple, which one day, of course, will be destroyed. So it reaches him via the logoic lotus on the cosmic mental plane from the seven rishis, and note this, of the Great Bear on their own plane. Now that should cause us to pause, because they seem to be on the cosmic Buddhic plane. But that is not really their own plane. Let's see if I hope I've done this correctly, and that I started this again. Yes, apparently I have started it again. So note that they seem to be situated on the cosmic Buddhic plane, but in fact their own plane, as I see it, is the cosmic Atmic plane. And why do I say that this may be the case? And I say so. Why do I say so? Because their own plane, and secondly, the force is received from the Buddhic plane, which is transmitted via the seven sisters, or Pleiades, from a constellation called the Dragon in some books, from which has come the appellation the Dragon of Wisdom. So what we have here is that the Pleiades are associated with the Buddhic plane, and cosmic Buddhi comes through them from this great constellation representing the base of the spine of the one about whom naught may be said, and that above that we find on the Atmic plane, cosmic Atmic plane, their own plane when talking about the Great Bear. That's what seems to me, because obviously the cosmic Atmic plane is a source of great will, and our seven rishis are dispensers of great will, whereas the Pleiades are dispensers of great love. So we always have to be careful about how DK blinds things. In the chart, it just looks like the seven rishis are on the Buddhic plane, but if you look closer, they have their own plane, which is not the cosmic Buddhic plane, as it is for the seven sisters. The seven sisters are involved not only with cosmic intelligence, they have a very strong cosmic Buddhic type of expression. A third type of energy is added and therefore can be detected in these centers, that of the monastic type, and this reaches the logoic centers via the star Sirius. It's a major monastic center, even though it is also a kind of local cosmic Christ. These three great streams of energy form the total manifestation of a logoic center, and this is known to us as a planetary scheme. Well, as I said, I have elaborated on this when dealing in a written form with the treatise on cosmic fire and in a video form as well. Now, let's see if I can get back to where I was. All right, we still are rolling along here, and sometimes this takes us back to the charts in telepathy, and you have seen this an elaboration of the following particular chart, which is probably the most expansive chart produced by the Tibetan. There are some charts produced by other theosophists which seem to, you know, almost go to the top, symbolically the capstone of the entire universe, but they are more general in their nature. The true chart here is this one, and the elaboration that we have given. All right. Now let's get back to I hope I can get back to this. Yeah. Okay. So that's the constitution of man. That's the constitution of man. And I want to go further and see what lies below this. Well, each one of these seems to be on a separate page. So what I have to find again is the Alice Bailey book and go to the beginning of telepathy and the etheric vehicle. And let's see if I can do it this way. Okay. All right. And we seem right. Okay. I wish I was a better zoomer. But I have my limitations, and I'd like to talk to my colleagues who are more adept at this than I am. So, this is the very beginning of the book, and we've just looked at two foundational charts. One of the seven planes of the solar system right here, I won't break it out again, and one of the evolution of a solar logos. What an immense system in which we live. But from another point of view, I hope I hope this is coming out. I think so. From another point of view, it's just the tiniest little speck. When you look at a galaxy, and there are so many of them, and they are in their families and groupings, then even such a being as a solar logos is just a flicker, just a crystal in that immense collection of solar logoi. And you look at something like even the one about whom naught may be said, which is to be considered kind of the head center. It is more than that. It's a super cosmic logos. It's beyond the cosmic logos, in which our sun is a great heart center. We have to look at the cosmic logos as a constellation, which is a center in the one about whom naught may be said. Well, why bother with all this? It does really stretch the mind. And it gives that kind of expansive point of view that Alice Bailey was achieving when she said great vistas appeared before her of what the Tibetan wasn't writing down through her. She was able to see more that was implied, given what the Tibetan was dictating to her. So anyway, we're learning how to consider a very vast system. And these are factors that have to be considered when we're dealing with telepathy. And why? Because the telepathic impression is coming, in this case, from something higher than ourselves. There is a horizontal telepathy, you know, solar plexus to solar plexus, mind to mind, and so forth. But we are dealing with higher impression, such as Master DK's relationship to us as souls, and the manner in which he sees who we are, what we do, and the manner in which he tries to impress us in the direction of the good. All right. Now here we have, and I'm always hoping that I'm showing you what I should. You know, when you get started on a new book, there's a little bit of trepidation. You have to learn how to get into it. And especially with something so abstruse, apparently, arcane, as telepathy, though he tells us that all of us are naturally telepathic and we just get in our own way in terms of not being able to bring out the telepathy which is inherently ours. So we begin with this section here. This is in the book itself. And maybe I can... There's another way to do this, and I'll just see whether whether that is suitable. But I think maybe this will have to be, we'll work within the book itself. I'll be right with you here as soon as I can. I'll be right with you.